Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
Of course, Call Me by Blondie, in honor of Ja Morant, who answered the phone at the buzzer last night.
Sensational game, sensational ending, and of course, all anyone can talk about is the gun stuff, the finger stuff. So, John, Chris, I know this isn't your favorite topic, but I want to start with, just to get this out of the way, Brian Windhorst today suggesting that the NBA might do something. Here we go. Let's listen to Brian Windhorst.
You could have a debate and discussion about whether the NBA should be legislating hand gestures. What this is about Ja Morant sticking his finger in the eye of the league office, which is he heard what they said. They said, don't do it again. He did it 4 minutes into the game. In a situation, by the way, where his team had lost 7 out of 8 games and had completely lost traction and had fallen to the play-in zone. He came into that game with the intent of sending a message to the league office. And that is just, I'm going to tell you something. One of the ways you can guarantee getting a reaction from the league office is by embarrassing them and trying to show them up. If you do it subtly, you can get in trouble. If you do it overtly like this, you're going to get in real trouble. And if you've got a history of Ja Morant, of listening to the league office, telling Adam Silver something straight to his face, and then doing the opposite a few minutes later, that's not going to be well received. And it is exactly the opposite of what the Grizzlies need when they're under so much stress right now, having a coaching change, having a losing streak, dealing with the pressure of all this playoff situations, and having a great moment where the Heat had won 6 games in a row. They go into Miami and get a great win. And now this is what the league and the team is now waiting for, not who they're playing next, but what there's going to be in this sort of adjudication from this.
The league and the team waiting for. I hate that we're, this is even a topic, but this seems to be a topic. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the finding a balance between Ja Morant's sort of aggression and swagger and chip on his shoulder, parts of his personality with maturity and composure and all of that, that's an issue. It's been an issue. It's an ongoing issue. It was an issue in that game, even if you set aside the finger gesture stuff. It was an issue in other ways. Like, you know, he takes a shot at the buzzer to win the game, and, like, he gave Miami a 3-point by shoving a dude to get a technical foul, right?
Right.
And so the question of, like, balancing, like, the maturity and aggression and all of that, which is relevant to this discussion, is also relevant beyond this discussion. So it's like a relevant thing for Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. Obviously, if the league does something to him on this, that's going to be highly meaningful for him and for the team. I will say, I did not watch, like, the little post-game package. Like, when the game ends, if I'm not going to watch the next game, which right. I wasn't, I turn it off and, like go read a book or go to sleep.
Yeah.
And so I watched it on YouTube this morning, and even in that package, there's a shot in that package of Tyler Hero making a three, and they cut to the Heat bench, and all the players on the Heat bench are doing the same thing.
Right.
And so, like, and people all over the league have done this all year.
Right.
I mean, Wesley Matthews famously used to do the thing where, like, he would make a three, and he would reach behind his back to pull the arrow out of his quiver, and he would shoot the arrow. Like, in historical terms, like, what we're shooting arrows at, you know? And so, do I think it was good for Morant to do that directly after the league had told him not to do that? No, I don't. Do I think if the league wants players not to do that, should they, like, target Ja Morant at a certain point in a season when he's done it all year? No, they should institute an official league rule about a specific thing, and they should apply that rule to the entire NBA is what they should do.
100%. So they literally, I don't know how you can quote-unquote suspend him for doing something that he has done all year and that every player in the NBA does and has done for forever, including Steph and LeBron. I guess,
right.
So then the problem is that people say, well,
including other players in the game
The problem is other people say, well, but Adam Silver told him not to. Well, I hate to say this. Why, on what grounds do you tell him not to if literally everybody does it? That was a stupid thing to say, to tell him not to, unless you're going to tell everybody not to. Unless, like, and I actually was trying to make sense of it watching the game. I'm like, huh, how's he doing that? And I said, well, maybe Silver told him not to do it at other players. That's a violent way as opposed to a celebratory way. But that isn't seem how it's being spun by. And I do think the fact that, like, Windhorst is saying it, like, everyone is, Stephen A. now is saying, you know, Adam Silver has to do something. And so I do think it creates this, they've made this problem for themselves, Adam Silver has, clearly.
Yes, 100%, because would it have been a topic on the shows just because, like, Draymond Green drew attention to it in a game? Of course it would have.
No.
But it became
more
of a topic because of, like, you know, Shams reporting that the league is investigating. I don't think, what are they investigating? They're watching the game? Like, they're looking at they're watching, like, the publicly broadcast basketball game? Was that their investigation? They hit play on the VCR? And so, like, I mean, is there real stuff here? Yes. And there's real stuff because, as I said, to start the segment, it goes beyond just the finger gesture in terms of Morant and maturity and all that. But, like, this is also, to me, my primary reaction to this specifically is what it was yesterday, which is that it's, like, this need that we all have. I say we, I don't have it, but the need, like, most of the media has and people have to find little dramas to debate that's not about the game itself. And it's like there always has to be a little drama to debate. If it's not this, it'll be some other little drama to debate.
No, I agree with that completely. My vantage on it now is that I'm literally looking at this thinking, are they really? Could they really suspend him? And that has real impact on the games and on the Grizzlies' position now. By the way, I don't know if you heard this. Jeffrey, can you call up the Isolo clip again? Isolo was asked about this. Drew is there, and it's great, and Drew was there. He asked him about the celebratory, you know, shower that he got and what it felt like to win his whole game, whatever. But someone then asked him this question about Ja. Listen to this exchange. Here it is.
And I'm sure you know that he's heard his name a lot the last couple of days with the gesture between him and Buddy and all that the other night. How much does Ja wear that criticism on his shoulder still and turn it into fuel at the right times for you guys?
We played a good game in the first half, but in the second half, I thought we did a lot better. Like, in the first half, we had a little bit sluggish start, but after that, all of the guys played much better, and in the end, it was a great team win.
How about that?
I don't think Ethan was that interested in the little dramas either.
No, he does not seem to be. It was just fantastic. I actually wondered if they'd been edited or I missed something or whatever. Like, normally you would say, well, I'm not that interested. He just, like, sailed right by it. So, anyway. All right. Onward to the game. We'll hope that he is not suspended. It was obviously a critical win for them. What did you make of the Grizzlies' effort?
I mean, just win, baby. That's what the man says.
Right.
I don't know, and I have a column that'll go up later today that's not about last night's game, but I lead with a few paragraphs on it. So what I basically said there was I don't know that the Grizzlies played any better last night than they had the three previous games since the coaching change that they lost against better competition.
Right.
And, in fact, they may have played worse.
Yep.
But, like, you know, you win the game. That's So the hope is that the win itself not only helps you in the standings, but relieves a little pressure. And because I think there were parts of that game where their various players seemed pretty tight. And, you know, Jaren, I think, shout out to the coach, by the way. Jaren gets two fouls, yeah, and to Jaren, but Jaren gets two, mostly to the coach. Jaren gets two fouls in the first quarter. He ends up playing 37 minutes, you know, with five fouls, and you win the game, which is the whole point, win the game. But I do think that Jaren, because of, and this is my interpretation, I'm not in his head, but just watching the game, there was something in his head, and I think it was the fouls. I think all the stuff for the last two games about the fouls and getting two in the first quarter had him self-conscious about it, and I thought he was playing too timidly for that reason. And still getting fouls playing timidly, like, I just go, man, just let it go. And if you foul out and go hard. It's what needs to happen. He did hit the big three. He had a block late, and he had the huge three that set up Jaws winning shot. But for the most part, he didn't have a very good game, and I think that was part of it. You know, Denzel Bain missed, like, 17 shots. Luke Kennard, like, just looked shook. And, like, to a point, not only could he not get off shots, when he got off one late, he basically airballed a three.
Yeah.
And so there was all kinds of mess there. Again, Jai lost his composure sometimes, you know, with that shove and the tech. Other guys, like, seemed really there for it in a way that was, like, really good to see, because that was a really physical, intense game on the road. Edie was sort of there for it physically. So was Scottie Pippen, who's been great. Jalen Wells, I think, did not shrink from that game at all. But one of the things that jumped out to me in the game was the difference in the physicality of the defense that Miami played versus the Grizzlies played. And that's something I think is not totally fixable this season because of personnel reasons. But I think it's something the Grizzlies need to think about going into the summer. Like, they have to be able to play with that kind of force and physicality. But they overcame it to win the game, and that's, you know, what matters ultimately.
Yeah, so a couple things in there. One, Drew also did, and I don't know if you heard the exchange from the post game. He asked Isolo about the foul trouble, or someone did. I think it was Drew. And he gave your answer. He said, you know, it's whatever, but I don't want to end up, you know, with him with five fouls and not having played as many minutes as he could have played. You know, like, it was...
What he said more specifically was, you want to hold him out to the point that you bring him in to finish the game, and the end of the game doesn't matter.
Right.
Which happens all the time.
Yep.
And that has been the thing I pounded the table on. So, he's obviously speaking my language on that.
So both Ja and, of course, Ja, it's easier because he can stay out of foul trouble easier than Jaren can. They both played through foul trouble. And then in terms of rotations...
Well, the other thing Isolo said in that same answer about the fouls, which also I point out a lot, a lot of this is on Jaren, and Jaren has some bad fouls. But he also is contesting everything,
right,
which puts you in position to get more fouls, and Isolo pointed that out as well.
Yeah. Lamar Stevens played 2 minutes, but otherwise, eight guys played. It was an eight-man rotation. And some of that's because of, obviously, what's happened with the roster, right? I mean, very clearly, if Brandon Clark was here, he would be playing, and then it would be, you know, whatever. Maybe someone would be playing less, but he'd go nine, probably.
Vince has missed the last two games with illness, and I know he hasn't been great lately, but the way Con Kennard's been playing, like, I don't know, maybe Vince would have been out there some, too.
Yeah, Kennard was, in addition to that ridiculous shot, a couple of turnovers that made no sense. Like, he was lost. So there was that on the rotation. I did wonder about Jaren, because there is this sort of theory that I have heard that one of the reasons that Jaren flourished this year was because of the new offense. Less ball dominant, more, you know, equal, whatever. And so I did wonder, now that we're going back to, or it feels like, a more job ball dominant offense, if Jaren will recede, his significance on the offensive end will recede. I think you're right that last night was probably more about the foul trouble, even on the offensive end. But what are your thoughts on that, the balance between Ja and Jaren and this, whatever this new offense will look like? It's not going to be a new offense. Whatever tweaks there will be to this offense.
Oh, I think that's a legitimate thing to bring up and to wonder about and to keep an eye on 100%. But there's sort of two components to that. There is the volume of touches and shot attempts, and then there's the quality of shot attempts, right? So I think, you know, if Ja comes back and Ja sort of asserts more, maybe that lowers the volume of the Jaren touches and shot attempts. But if he's still getting the same quality, you know, and that gets into the more less pecking order and more offense you know, system kind of stuff and more spacing kind of stuff. I think there's a blend to be had there. There, you know, obviously this is a new head coach on a fly trying to tweak some stuff. So I don't know how well it'll sort itself out over the next five games and however many postseason games they have. But obviously, whether it's Isolo or whoever it is going into next season, you've got to focus on building a style and a system and a rotation and all of that that can try to get the best out of both of those guys. I do think there is some legitimate tension there. And so I do think it's a thing, you know, it's not an assertion I would dismiss.
Yeah, it feels like there's been sort of a lot of Ja getting open shots in the corner. You know, I mean, Jaron getting open shots in the corner right. as opposed to, you know, right. going driving. All right, so the Grizzlies are back at sixth. That's a happy thing, but it's only because the Clippers didn't play, and now that they're tied right. with Minnesota, they have the tiebreaker over Minnesota. It is still amazing. You've got between Denver and between 3 and 8 are separated by 2.5 games. That's unbelievable.
And the Grizzlies, like, I'm not saying they're going to get up to third because they almost certainly are not.
Right.
But they're two games back in Denver, and they still have a game to play against Denver, right? The Minnesota thing is what I would really look at because yep. you have a game to play against Minnesota, and it's in your building.
Yep.
And you sort of have the tie. You'll have the tiebreaker on them. Certainly, if you win that game, you have it now 2-1. And so, like, if you can manage to stay ahead or get ahead / stay ahead of Minnesota, I mean, that puts you in a worst case scenario of hosting like the 7-8 game. You know, maybe better right. than that if the Clippers take a loss, but at least that you it seems like that is in your control. You know.
It is weird. The two things we know are that Oklahoma City will be first, and I feel like we almost kind of know that Dallas is going to be ninth. You know, like there's a...
Well, we pretty much know Houston's going to be second.
Oh, that's true, too. Houston's going to be second. That's right. And we pretty much... Dallas may, I suppose, could be caught by Sacramento, but they're a game and a half up on Sacramento, and there's a big gap between the Clippers and Dallas. There's a 6.5 game between 8 and 9. So that's where we are. All right, so Detroit... Saturday. How's Detroit been?
Detroit's been the most improved team in the league. And I think the players who got suspended from that fight will be off the suspension by then. I think that's right. That's a really good team. But it's a team that's got a record about like the Grizzlies. And you look at the talent and like they've probably exceeded like their talent a little bit. Especially, you know, having lost Jaden Ivey. And so, you know, I mean, that's probably a toss-up kind of game, but the Grizzlies will have a little rest. They'll have a little, hope they're feeling better about themselves coming off the win. So that's one that's there to be won, and the Grizzlies should go out and get it. But it's not a game we're taking for granted, though, based on like, whatever the reputation of Detroit's been the last few years, because Detroit's a lot better right now. They've got Cade Cunningham as a big lead guard, sort of a poor man's Luka kind of player who's probably going to be on the All-NBA team. And there's a good defense. It's a physical team. You know, you will get to see Zach Edey battle with Jalen Duren, the former Tiger, who's come on better over the course of the season. So, like, that's shaping up to be a really good game.
One thing we've seen in the league, obviously, recently, is great players having great games. Steph, Giannis, Jokic, like, it's been remarkable to watch. And I know you are polled on your MVP opinion regularly. Where are you on it right now?
Polled by the Tim Bonham straw poll.
Yeah,
it's not like
right.
the people all over the country are polling me on my
right,
opinion. Mine this time was pretty conventional. I think I may have, I didn't see what he published, but I think I may have had one small change in the middle, but I had SGA 1, Jokic 2, Tatum 3, Giannis 4, Donovan Mitchell 5.
And what's your thinking 1 and 2? In other words, who's having the greater season?
I think that it's a close call, and you could, if you just look at strictly individual production, you can certainly tip it to Jokic, who's amazing. But I think they both, and some of the Jokic defensive numbers are pretty good, but I think SGA might have a little bit more defensive value, and I think he has been an overwhelming scorer. And that Thunder team sort of needs him to be an overwhelming scorer. I mean, he's not asked to do the same things as Jokic is asked to do, but what he's asked to do, he has been like the best in the NBA at it this season. And that team has an elite defense, and their offense is SGA gets buckets. And he gets buckets while contributing to the best defense in like a generation. And so I think you could make a case for Jokic. I would have zero quarrel if they vote for Jokic as MVP, but I think it's pretty valid to go with SGA. I don't think it's strictly a voter fatigue. You know, you the second guy wins. I think he's very, very deserving.
Okay, and then the last question on this is we talk sometimes about how gruesome it might be for the Grizzlies to be the eighth seed and get Oklahoma City at one. But if the season, you know, ended today, it would be the Grizzlies in six getting Denver. How much better? How do you feel about Grizzlies Denver?
I feel a lot better about that. The question is, do you feel better about that than being the seven versus the two against Houston? And so I would rather do the Denver and not take my chances to lose the 7-8 game.
Right.
I think a Denver series would be interesting. That's a matchup, even from a franchise standpoint, we've never seen before. It would be something new, like a new team to check off in a Grizzlies playoff series. I think you get to put, you know, Edie and Jaren and those guys up against Jokic and sort of take a measure of that. I don't think Denver's defense has not been good this season. It's one of the worst defenses among like teams that think they can make a big run. The Grizzlies' offense has been good. Then maybe you can score with them. I don't think they have good defensive matchups for Ja necessarily. So I'd take that. I'd take that right now. Lock it up. Let's do it.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his stuff over there at the Daily Memphian. Kind of amazing. One day, it's tomorrow, that Robert Owen Jewelers, at their Bartlett location, that's at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road, six-hour sale. This is tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. Everything 60% off. How about that? Six-hour sale, 60% off anything in the showcase. They only do it one time, every few years, in each location. And this time, it's Bartlett, 60% off for 6 hours tomorrow. You probably want to be there at 10 a.m. Get your first select. But thousands of things, honestly, available there, including engagement rings and including brand name watches and including earrings and necklaces and bracelets and designer jewelry and everything in the showcase. Kind of amazing. 60% off. Not 10, not 20, not 30, 60% off. Again, it's the Robert Owen Jewelers location. They're in Bartlett at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road, right next to the Kroger. For complete details, go online to rijewelers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-based insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
So I opened the phones earlier this week to talk about, was it the Grizzlies? I think it was the state of the Grizzlies, Jeffrey. It was the state of the Grizzlies. It was after the Golden State game, maybe?
Correct.
And people called in and told me what they thought about the Grizzlies. But the call that really resonated with me was from Beale Street Bob, who called to say how much he really likes the windbreaker that he got from O'Call.
His Peter Millar.
10 years ago. Bought a Peter Millar windbreaker from O'Call and how it gives him such joy. And I co-sign, baby. I co-sign that because I feel the same way about the sport coats that I have from O'Call, the sports shirts that I have from O'Call, of course, the legendary at this point, Steel jacket that I have from O'Call. The right piece of clothing can absolutely inspire you to call radio shows to talk about it 10 years after you bought it. So shout out to Beale Street Bob.
When you really don't want to talk about the Grizzlies.
This would be a great time to get yourself to O'Call. The people make you feel like $1 million, and they make you look like $1 million. And let me tell you, right now we all need $1 million. So it is O'Call. Place is loaded right now with sports shirts, polos, and stunning, beautiful colors. You walk on in there, and you're just ready for spring and summer. So wherever you're going, whether it's on vacation, to the beach, or to your own backyard, spruce up your spring and summer wardrobe. Take it from me. Take it from Beale Street Bob with a trip to O'Call and do it this weekend. All right, Jeffrey. So we've taken all the data on this. Drew has an interesting point. It's amazing to me on the Joss stuff that you've got the national media trying to goad Adam Silver into doing something, right? But let me ask you this. Do they goad him into doing something about Draymond Green? Like, which is embarrassing? The way that Draymond Green berates officials on and on and on throughout his entire career? Or
so I had a
hitting a jumper and doing a gun thing, which is, as you point out, I mean, the problem is this is kind of embedded.
Yeah.
You shoot the ball.
Correct.
I mean, it's kind of embedded in the culture, right?
Correct. Do we have to go to tossing?
Yeah.
Throwing?
It's a jump toss. Yeah. It's I just don't know how. I don't know how you can do it if everybody else. I don't know how you can punish someone for doing something that literally, as Chris pointed out, in the same game, lots of players on the other team are doing. Like, what is the rule here?
So I didn't see it, but I do see Anthony Sains claiming also that Buddy Hield last night in the Lakers game.
People left and right do this stuff.
Well, but would you not agree? Buddy Hield is at least up to the same scrutiny that Josh.
He was also warned.
We are not seeing anyone.
You know what else? The whole intravenous thing they do, the ice water in the veins.
In his veins.
I think that could encourage
heroin use. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know,
we got to think about the kids.
Because that could be totally misinterpreted.
Correct.
As kids, I want you to shoot up.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think Steph's night-night could also encourage head trauma.
I think that's true, too. That's basically
for a knockout punch.
They have put themselves, again, I still think it was stupid for Ja to do it. Stupid, selfish, whatever, all of that. Like, why?
Immature, yeah.
Why? Just unnecessary. Unnecessary. Then again, I'm kind of a rule follower.
He also did play really well in the second half.
What?
He also played really well. Like that.
He played magnificently.
The mental gymnastics I'm having to do is like, is this better? Is this motivating
on
him?
The edge, Ja? Well, I mean, it very clearly. You know what, though? Ja was pretty awesome before he picked up his first gun on video.
Yeah, but I don't think we're ever going back to that. I think that ship has sailed. I guess, though, this is, I'm not saying some of the commentary and whatnot is against your point, but I interpreted the Windhorst clip that we've played, I interpreted that as like Windhorst spoke with someone at the league.
It sounded like he was reporting it.
Right.
Yes.
It did not sound to me like.
No, Chris Canty was like, well, they got to do something.
Correct.
You know, and I haven't listened to the Stephen A. stuff because I've been on. So I don't know what he said. Jason said he did a 180 in terms of, you know, yesterday defending.
Well, I just
Ja.
Know right now Stephen A. is discussing a very important question, Jeff. Will the Cowboys be better, the same, or worse in 2025?
We interrupt.
America needs to know.
We interrupt this NFL talk for a little update on John Guns.
Correct.
And now we're going back to
now
the NFL.
Back to the Dallas Cowboys.
So anyway, we'll see what happens. It would be ridiculous if. At this moment in this season, Joe was suspended. Holy crap. I just can't believe it. Can't believe it to be true. Can't believe it would be true. So onward we go. And I just don't know how they can. I think it would be successfully grieved by the Players Association, because how can you suspend someone for doing something that players routinely do in the course of games? So there you go.
I mean, isn't the bigger question, though, what is the interpretation of conduct detrimental to the league?
Yeah, but how can conduct be detrimental by one person if the same conduct from another person isn't detrimental?
The other people haven't gone live on Instagram?
Yeah, but that's...
I mean, I'm not defending it. I'm just right. saying...
But it's in the end, the what he's doing is what he's doing, and so I don't think his obviously his past gives us some greater context, but it doesn't make what he does more offensive or less offensive.
I agree.
So, all right, I'm sure there will be more discussion about this topic.
I'll say this,
as 92.9 progresses.
The more we've talked it out, the more I don't think they can suspend him.
Because everybody does it. It's ridiculous.
And, like, you are going to have to legitimately, you would have to announce that you are suspending him for something that is not a part of your, like, he didn't.
And there's literally unprecedented. No right. one has ever been suspended.
And he didn't break, there is no rule you can point to that he, quote unquote, broke.
Right. Now, people have been disciplined for doing the gun thing, as you pointed out, we discovered. Not many. And it's only been a fine. So how you can now suspend him, I just don't see it. But I damn well wish we weren't talking about it. All right, onward we go. As I said, there will be more discussion about this, I am certain, on 92.9 as the day goes forward. Have you placed any wagers on the Final Four?
I've not. I'm leaning towards taking both underdogs just because, for all the reasons we've talked about, like, these are the four best teams, and on that stage, give me some points. And but so, this has not been a tournament for underdogs.
And so, I'm sorry, what are the lines?
So right now, I believe Florida is a 2.5-point favorite, and I believe it's five for Houston. Or Duke is a 5-point favorite over Houston. Let me double-check for you. 2.5 and 5.5.
I didn't know, and maybe there's been
but I've not placed
a lot of talk
yet.
About this, but I didn't know this, that when Shire took over at Duke, the first thing he did was schedule a secret scrimmage against Houston. Did you hear that?
Doesn't surprise me.
Because he wanted to, like,
hey, let's
go, and it was at Houston. Let's go find the toughest team, literally the toughest team in the country, and play them.
Yeah.
You know? And I heard you all talking about whether this Duke team is analogous to
the Notre Dame football.
No, the 91.
Oh, yeah, the 91.
Rebels,
yeah.
The UNLV. Was it 91
Correct.
UNLV?
Correct.
They lost to Duke?
They smoked Duke in the title game the year before
they like, just destroyed
absolutely,
them.
Absolutely. I killed them like 40. And then the next year, I do kind of have in my head, is Houston getting like wildly overlooked in this? I do also think, though, we'll know like 90 seconds into the game if Houston has a chance because
the whistle.
If we see them calling it pretty tight, it's like, I don't like their chances here.
It's interesting. It doesn't, you know, one of the lessons of the last few years has been you can't win with freshmen.
Yeah.
But this, you can when you're freshman's Anthony Davis, right? That level, great, right?
Correct. And, I mean,
and
I think
you,
it's also.
And maybe you can when you're freshman's Cooper Flagg.
And you could do it with Carmelo.
And you did it with Carmelo.
But to me, it's not just all freshmen. Like, they have key freshmen, but they've got some experience. They've got some seasoning. And, I mean, really, to me, the larger thing is, like, I feel like they've been the most consistent and the best team in this tournament.
I have had to – what's interesting about this? Maybe this is telling. So, I married a Dukie.
Yes.
And do you think that made me a Duke fan?
No, it made you hate him more.
It did not make, and this is before I got divorced. This is like, I don't know, maybe it's a bad person. Maybe it was foreshadowing. I married a Dukie, and I rooted against them.
Yeah. It's the power
That's
of Coach
K.
That's
not kind.
It's the power of Coach K. Did you ever try to root for them?
But I had always rooted against them.
Right.
So I was being true to my principles, you know? I don't think your marriage requires you to set aside your principles and root for a team that you'd always rooted against. And I always rooted against them on the same basis I root against everybody. I root against the Yankees. I root against greatness. I root against teams that like win all the time because I want the joy to be shared. I get sick of the same team winning all the time.
I do think it's interesting this year, though. Are they likable?
I think they're likable. Well, so two things have changed. One is I don't think this is a detestable Duke team. I just don't. I think they're pretty likable. How do you not like Cooper Flagg?
No, I agree. I also think, though, there's two key components.
There's no Coach K. If you hated Coach K for you, like, yeah, he's gone.
He's not lecturing us. He's not coaching other teams. He's not telling us how he does it the right way, and yet Zion has a new house and a new car and how everyone, right. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing all that. Shire is likable. But I think another big part of this is maybe in this era, Duke's going to be more likable because they'll just be shuffled. Like, we don't get to hate somebody for 4 years. Like, Knipple right now is really fun. Like, he's a good player to watch because he's tough, and you watch, oh, this guy's pretty good. But are you telling me if you saw Knipple for another 2 years that you're not sitting there going, I hate this guy? Like, he even has the look of the Duke point guard that we all just want to punch in the face. But, like, right now, like, we have so little exposure to him, it's like, I don't know, the guy's pretty fun.
Someone asked me if I rooted against Leitner. Yes, I rooted against Leitner. He is from Buffalo. He is from Buffalo, but he went to Nichols, you know.
Is that
Nichols,
a rivalry?
No, the Snooty private school.
Ah.
You know. My parents threatened us.
Send you to the private school.
If we really misbehaved, we'd go to we'd be sent to the Snooty private school. In terms of likable players, is Walter Clayton Jr. the most likable? I mean, like, he is so phenomenal.
I
have a hard time liking Florida. It's just not in my DNA. I'm not a Florida guy.
There's also some golden stuff that still doesn't sit well with a lot of people. I still think,
yeah, by the way,
the coolest
to the extent that he was absolved in the Title IX investigation, it was only, they didn't say he didn't do it.
Correct.
They said that it wasn't at a school event or something, the way they phrased it. It was not at a Title IX only applies in certain circumstances. They did not say, we looked into this, there's no truth to these allegations that he's a creepy ass stalker.
Right.
They said, but the way he did it was,
like, he went full Trump, though. Like, he got, like, he won on a technicality and he comes out, like, yeah, it's vindication.
It's not like.
But to your point about Clayton, I actually think one of the coolest plays I've seen in the NCAA tournament in a really long time.
When he
drove into the lane and then casually, he's like, yeah, I'm not going to tie it up. I'm going to take the lead, and then buried it.
Yeah.
That was an awesome play.
That was cold blooded, man.
That
you
was awesome.
Fire off your finger guns over that one. But no, the real change, though, is that, and maybe this is the difference, the blood is thick. When my son went to Duke, my wife going to Duke did not make me a Duke fan. My son going to Duke did. Terrible. I want him to be happy.
I think also, though,
I want his happiness. He cares deeply about it. Why didn't I want my wife to be happy?
I think when you cut a check, though, it starts to
matter. Is it the check?
I do think, like,
it's the check. I think it's just more than anything, we want our children to be happy, and I want him to be happy, and so that's why I'm all in on Duke. By the way, today, Shedeur Sanders, pro day, Jeffrey.
Indeed we do.
And so what you get about the pro day is, you know, 50 of 52, ball didn't drop the ground, whatever else, okay, all that stuff. But you also get to see...
Not for Riley Leonard.
You also
it's 52 of 56
you
on
also,
air?
You get, also get to see who went. So the full... Everyone went from Cleveland. Everyone went.
Yeah.
I don't know who the Giants sent. It feels like to me that this is pretty clear. And by the way, less than 3 weeks now to the draft. You got the Titans taking Cam, right?
Yep.
It feels like Cleveland goes position player, whichever one, right?
I do wonder, if they can't get this Cousins thing resolved, I still contend the Falcons are doing exactly what they should be doing, which is they're saying publicly,
we're not giving away Cousins.
Right. And we paid him. We gave him $10 million.
Right. This wasn't. Oh, they put their money where
correct.
Their draft
and
picks were.
Whereas the Browns are like, please cut him.
Right.
Like, please cut him. And I do wonder if they think we can't get this done
then they take Shador.
Right.
That is not a reason to take Shador.
I agree. You should believe in him.
You either believe in him or don't, and then you go accordingly. And if you believe in him, even if you could get the Kirk Cousins thing done, you take him.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in him, you don't take him.
I mean, to be clear, that's kind of the situation. The Giants are in a poor man's version of that, which is...
The Giants are in a slightly different version because it feels like they are all on a shorter leash.
Correct.
So the franchise's incentives might be one way, but for the front office, I think their best chance of surviving is to hit on a quarterback of the future.
All right, we got the news, Jeff. All right, I believe it's going to be a fine. Yes, the NBA has fined Ja Morant $75,000 for finger gun gestures.
So what do they do now, though? Like, what if he does again? Do they fine everybody?
This was what you and I talked about. It's like, what if... It felt like a leap to go straight from warning to suspension.
We did settle on fine.
Correct.
But how can you... Is everyone who did finger gun gestures last night getting fined?
To me, at least Buddy Hield should be.
You either have to have a rule that applies to players' finger guns, or you don't. I don't give a damn about
$75,000. I don't care about Ja's money. I'm trying to see if they put...
But then what happens next?
All right.
What happens if Ja just does it again?
Memphis Grizzlies guard Ja Morant has been fined $75,000 for twice making an inappropriate gesture on the playing court. It was announced today by Joe Dumars, executive vice president, head of basketball operations. Morant was previously warned by the league office that this gesture could be interpreted in a negative light. The gestures were made by Morant during the Grizzlies' 110-108 victory over the Miami Heat April the 3rd at the Casillas Center.
What gestures are allowed now? You got
to me like it,
any
Buddy
Hield
has to be fined as well.
But it's not just Buddy Hield; it's everybody who makes a gesture.
The only reason I'm saying Buddy Hield has to be.
I understand that because he was warned too.
Right.
I get that too. But I'm saying it shouldn't just be Buddy Hield.
I agree.
It should be player who is fine who makes a gesture that could be interpreted.
In fact, Draymond should be suspended by even intimating the gesture.
Right, he did it.
Correct.
Could be interpreted. No. I don't know how this is. This is a double standard.
I'm going to take my victory lap. When everyone was like, "Silver's the greatest commissioner ever," it's like, this guy's such a weak image conscious. Like, just all he does is every decision.
Nerd.
So it was just so the internet would be like, "Oh my God, so great, so thoughtful." Oh, yuck. There's no press. Like, this is ridiculous.
This is unenforceable.
Like, on what grounds?
What is the standard here?
The standard is we said not to do it. It's like, okay, you said that to Buddy Hield, too.
But why did you say not to do it to one player in the league? It's just the stupidest thing ever.
Because, right. Jeff, they're hypocrites.
What is coming up next on 92.9?
Hang on, let me see if I can find that. I used to have some. There we go. Yeah. There's some finger guns. Jason and John.
This could be misinterpreted. We're going to be.
Jason and John coming up next. John live from San Antonio. Anthony Sane joins them. Tim Murray with me today. Blake Topmeyer will join us during hour number one. Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Yep. Locked and loaded for a big day here. Both barrels.
How about one more?
It's Jeff Gawkins Show. We'll be back.
Pew, pew.
Just got to reload
yep.
over the weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. For now, work is done.